Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the January 2017 meeting of the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, our first membership meeting of the year. I'm sorry, I've been told I'm screaming. I must have been partying. We are very honored today to have Jeff Tom with us as our speaker. Before we introduce him, we're going to do our usual go around the room and have everyone introduce himself or herself. So we'll do that. Am I supposed to ask what? Jeff, are you able to hear me?
I am.
Okay, very good. So we're going to have the portable mic going around the room, and everyone will tell you who's here. My name is Susan Glass. I'm Silicon Valley Council President and Newsletter Editor, and I'm here with my guide dog, Zeus, who will be retiring tomorrow. And I'll just take this opportunity to quickly say that if you have newsletter articles to submit this year, for this next newsletter, Mike is going to be editing the February newsletter, so you'll need to send all materials to Mike. And with no further ado, we'll move along here. Do you want to use this?
Yeah. No, I've got one.
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Alice Turner, Vice President.
Here, I'll let you take it. Yeah.
Okay. Lupi Medrano, San Jose.
I'm Mike Keithley. I'm the membership chair. I'm very sorry that I haven't handed out ALD devices, but if you want one, ask for it.
Diane Harms, recording secretary with my guide dog, Morty.
Morning, this is Vic Clifford, treasurer.
Good morning and Happy New Year's. This is Nancy.
Good morning, this is Donna, lunch chair.
Hi, this is Abby Tamara with my service dog, Inglis. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, this is Roger Peterson. I don't know what I am.
Good morning, this is Carol Silveria. I'm from San Jose.
I'm Anna Bellino from San Jose with my guide dog, Tacoma.
Good morning, it's Michelle and Garvey, and I'm fundraising chair from Mountain View.
Good morning, it's Candy Loomis from Campbell.
I'm Barbara Dickinson from Mountain View.
Frank Brown, Cupertino. I don't have a title, and I have my white cane name, Mr. Magoo.
Hi, Patricia Silva from Cupertino.
Joe Silva from Cupertino.
Go to John in the red sweater.
John and guide dog Chase from San Jose.
Hi there. You got Charlie Stein on the line. And otherwise known as the Crusher from Palo Alto. And I did get some cans today by a nice person that promised to bring me another bag next month.
Hello, everyone. This is John Canzi here, and I live at Monte Vista Terrace, of course, and I'd like to welcome everybody to our first Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, and, of course, my mother, Mary, and my brother, Mike, should be coming any moment now, and I would like to wish everybody happy 2017.
Hi, this is Carol Ann Owens from Mountain View, and I wish everybody a happy new year and welcome everybody to the first new year of
of 2017, and wish him a very good year. Thank you.
Good morning. It's John McNulty from Sunnyvale, board member.
Alan Jones from Santa Clara.
Good morning. It's Patrick from San Jose, and I'm a board member, and I'm also the chair of the Braille Literacy Committee.
Rob Turner, immediate past president, Sunnyvale.
Bev Clifford here, Goodies chairperson from San Jose, and I want to let you know that we only have goodies through March. Anybody who would like to bring goodies to meetings, please come see me from April on. It's free.
Don Wilcox, Palo Alto, trying to retire from the Hospitality Committee.
And Don gave me the responsibility. It's Naomi, San Jose Hospitality Chair, and whatever else I do.
Matthew Pfeiffer, St. Francis High School volunteer.
And then Kira, part-time student volunteer from Pali, and you're a part-time auctioneer.
Yay!
And that's everyone.
That's everyone?
Yep.
All right. Sure, I want to buy some tickets, too.
Okay. Well, that's everyone, and we are ready to begin with our program. This morning, it is my extreme pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Jeff Tom. He is Director of Governmental Affairs for the California Council of the Blind. He is also immediate past president of the California Council, and he is the first vice president of the American Council. And I think that if he has to wear all those hats at the same time, that's heavy, but very good at what he does. And he is here this morning in the capacity of telling us all about upcoming legislative issues that face us as blind and visually impaired people at the local and state and possibly federal level, and what we can do to advocate and help work on those issues together. So, Jeff, welcome. Let's give you a round of applause and let you begin.
Thank you. So, you know, the problem with these kind introductions is that you're supposed to live up to them, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that, but... Nonetheless, thank you to... Can everybody hear me? I guess that's the first question.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you to Susan and to Mike and others who asked me. Your chapter is certainly, you know, without peer, I'd have to say, in terms of not only your numbers, but, you know, the amount of work that you do. It's... haven't been there in a long time. It's nice to hear some voices that I haven't heard before, and it's great to hear a lot of voices that I have never heard before, because that's really what keeps us growing, is to have new people coming in all the time. So I'm glad to hear that. I have to say, I'm standing here at the entrance to my master bathroom. You might say, well, why that? but here's the thing, and I'm sure you can all appreciate this. My master bathroom looks out, has a window in which the sun is coming in. And being that it's a foreign object for most of us these last couple of weeks, I think
Amen
I'm just enjoying whatever I can get of it. So, yeah, that's where I'm going to be talking from. I'm just going to cover some sort of random things so that I can leave a lot of time for questions about issues that you really have. But first, I wanted to thank your chapter for your very generous donation to the ACB Legislative Seminar. It has meant that we are able to expand from 7 to 8 individuals this year. The person who is going to be The direct beneficiary is Ms. Lorene Devaney, who is from the Santa Rosa area. She's also she's a member of the San Francisco chapter. She has been to three of our capital days before, and she's also lobbied, I think, for like SEIU or National Association of Social Workers or whatever. So I think, although she's never done the Hill, I think she'll be a quick study, and I'm hoping that she will be of great credit to your donation. And so, in fact, I was in the process this morning before I got on here of assigning out congressmen, because part of the way we do it, for those of you, most of you who do not know, is that we have a small enough delegation and a big enough number of congresspersons that everybody has to go see 6-7 offices. So I have to, as the person who's sort of in charge of the logistics, I am, you know, assigning people to different offices so that we don't duplicate our efforts. So, you know, it's a matter of cutting and pasting, you know, the office numbers and into a big document, and then deciding, oh, you need to change one here or there. So you have to paste it into a different spot, and it's kind of like putting a puzzle together. But so I was doing that. Anyway, we don't yet know what another thing that happens with the legislative seminar is that we we are given information both in writing and when we go to the seminar by speakers on the issues that we are supposed to discuss on Capitol Hill by ACB, and they haven't made those determinations yet, so I can't pass those along to you. I suspect that a couple of them will be the ones we've had the last couple of years, and so I'll just sort of mention them right now, is the Cogswell-Macy Act, which is basically a piece of federal legislation that we've introduced before to reform special education for blind, deaf, and deaf-blind children. And it's likely that that bill, even if it does get introduced again this year, I would say the chances of it passing by itself are remote. Probably have a better chance to pass once a general reform of special education is looked at. I may have a comment on that in a minute, but and then the other legislation we have is one that would include low vision aids as a pilot project in the Medicare program. Right now, you can't get them under Medicare. And there's no way to know I'll reserve a comment on that for a minute too. So let's start sort of at the federal level. There's a great deal of uncertainty. As all of you know, the goal of ACB and like-minded advocacy organizations is to develop some communication with folks in the Trump administration. I think the last time I heard from Eric that there was Eric Bridges, who's the ACB executive director, he had stated that there is apparently someone who's been appointed as the disability affairs person. And I don't really know what that means or whether there was actually for the transition. During the campaign, we really knew absolutely nothing about what his stance was on disability issues. So it's very early days to, you know, ascertain what the Trump administration and the Republican House and Senate will be thinking in terms of our issues. Medicare is going to certainly be an issue that after the Affordable Care Act and some other priorities get handled, Medicare will be on the table. And interestingly enough, it's possible that when Medicare is on the table, even though the thrust of whatever they want to do to Medicare may well be negative for seniors and people with disabilities, but pilot sorts of things like ours might be able to be slid into such a reform act. So who's to say? This is really early days yet. We really don't know anything. And I don't know. I think it could be months before we really see what's going to happen. And the same is true not only on legislation, but on regulations of importance to us in terms of new ADA regulations, new regulations on telecommunications, on audio, on descriptive services, on a whole host of things, Department of Defense regulations that deal with facilities that have military bases in terms of the blind vendors program. Those regulations are being held up. There's a whole host of things that are either pending or that might have come down the pike, and now we don't know what will be happening in the, over the next few months, and I guess we'll gradually start to see some signs from the Trump administration. It could be better, worse, no, neither one. It's hard to say. I don't think anybody really knows, you know, what, you know, whether this is going to be a time of severe strain for the issues that we want or not. I can't believe it's going to be great, but how badly it's going to be is really an open question.
Jeff, can everyone hear Jeff okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Is that all right, Alice? Okay. Thank you, Jeff. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure we're
sure.
Good.
So turning to the state level a little bit, we have all types of issues that we sort of advocate on, and some of them are issues that really are impacted by whatever the Republican administration decides to do back in D.C. I did forget one thing before I leave the go to the state for a second. One of the concerns, of course, about our Causal Macy Act is going to be the new Secretary of Education nominee, if indeed she is accepted by the Senate, and that's going to be close, I suspect. They only have to peel back if the Democrats decide to unify, and they can peel away even, say, two Republicans, it's possible she will be defeated. That's unlikely because she's a big Republican donor, but it's possible. Anyway, if her nomination is accepted, that has a real impact on us. She is very much into privatizing systems. We have no idea. Her department has jurisdiction over the Rehabilitation Services Administration as well as special education. And we don't know how active she will be or the administration will be in terms of taking a look at reforming the special education laws. So it could be that we're going to be having even more of an uphill battle, you know, than we would have had previously. But who's to say? We don't know. You know, who's to say that, you know, she might decide to, you know, get on the bandwagon and look good and do some good things for special education. One never knows. Anyway, turning to the state for a minute, we have some issues that are directly impacted by the federal government and some that are not. There's two principles that have underlied the recently proposed. Well, I'm wondering if I had a stop, actually, before I go on. I think I'll stop because I've covered a lot and ask for questions now on what I've covered so far so that you don't have to forget them and try to remember them. And then I'll come back and go on to some other things. So if there's any questions, Susan, I don't know how you want to handle that, but...
Oh, just does anyone have a question for Jeff regarding the federal legislative issues he's covered thus far?
We have one in the back.
She's coming for
me. Hello, welcome. This is Frank Brown. I have a question about your issue on the Medicare. When you said it may turn out to be really bad, what is that medical coverage or is that our monthly income that we receive to keep up with the cost of living allowance? I mean, what is your hypothetical theory of what maybe can happen?
I have no idea what's going to happen, and it's probably not going to be the uppermost issue because I think after the Affordable Care Act, I think Medicaid's probably going to come first, and then after that would probably be Medicare. I mean, there's obviously a lot of momentum towards privatizing, but I'm not sure they can get the votes to do that. I really don't think that's an issue that even some Republicans want to touch because it can really impact the votes in the next election cycle. So, but that would be the worst scenario. And there's an awful lot of folks who feel Medicare should be privatized, but short of that, there could be other things in terms of rates and plans and things like that that could make things more difficult for Medicare. So who knows? There's no way to know.
Other questions?
Right, here's another one.
Okay.
I came late, so I don't know what's been covered. You said something about special education. How would they regulate that?
Can you repeat what she just said? How do they regulate what?
The question is how is special education regulated? I think it's a question of how that happens.
Well, there is a federal law, obviously, that basically says you have to provide an education to persons with disabilities in the least restrictive environment, and there's regulations under that. We also have state laws that go with that as well. There's also federal funding, and you can't discriminate in terms of the use of federal funding, and there's a lot of federal funding, of course, that goes into special education. So with those laws, that has a real impact on what states have to do. Now, one of the things which came up at the hearing was the sort of idea that potentially this nominee wouldn't enforce the special education law, but she'd let the states do whatever they felt they could. And that was obviously not greeted very happily by special education advocates. How much of a difference that would make in a state like California is hard to say because we have a pretty activist state. But still, we all know the school districts oftentimes do their best to get out of following through on their requirements to provide a reasonable education to special education students, including those who are blind. So, you certainly don't, It's our view right now that the federal government has been taking their foot off the gas pedal for a while anyway, to some degree. We certainly don't want them to even backpedal more. Let me put it that way.
And in the interest of giving you time to cover your state issues, let's move on to that, and we can always come back. We'll take additional questions.
Okay. So the state budget, the governor just came out with his proposed budget for the next fiscal year that begins in July. And the state budget is very conservative in its expenditure of any new monies for two reasons, one of which I don't fully agree with, and one of which is absolutely I do agree with. One of which is that the governor has been, although he is in disagreement with other state officials on this, but the governor has been considering a very likely scenario that there will be a recession as early even as this year, and that revenues will therefore decline markedly. He said the same thing last year. That didn't happen, but eventually it's going to. And he's really, you know, the governor has done a whole lot to, you know, retain the fiscal integrity of the state. So he's being very conservative on that basis. He is, however, in disagreement with the fiscal official in the state who makes these predictions, the legislative analyst, who isn't so dire in his predictions. The other area, of course, is that the governor is very uncertain, especially in the field of health and human services, as to how much money we might lose because of the Trump administration. And perhaps the biggest area of conjecture is in the Medicaid area, because under Obamacare or the ACA, the states have gotten the states who have decided to participate, and we are one, have gotten a lot more money for various aspects of Medicaid or Medi-Cal, as it is in our state, including coverage of people that were not otherwise covered, and you know, for other and for more money for in-home supportive services and other things. It's possible that there might be a decline in the money available. It's even possible, although nobody wants to talk about it, but it's even possible that they will try to put through a block grant for states, which would really cause problems. But we don't know. You know, it may not be till this summer that Medicaid begins to be talked about, and it may even be after that. Everything is very fluid. Because no one knows exactly how much pushback against the House Republicans and the Trump administration there is going to be, and nobody knows for sure how much the Senate is willing to go along with it, especially because the Senate is so closely divided, like 51-48 or something like that. So the governor has been conservative in his budget, and for that reason, one of the things that we're directly involved in is SSI. There's two elements to SSI. There's the state portion and the federal portion. The federal portion is paid to a automatic cost of living adjustment. There basically wasn't one this year because inflation didn't go up, and there wasn't any increase, and there was a for the first time in, like, I don't know how many years, 10 years or something, there was actually a few dollar increase in the state portion through the legislature. There is actually expected to be a 2% increase in the federal portion next year, beginning in January of 2018, because it's expected there will be increases in the cost of living. The governor, however, is not willing to increase the state portion at this point in time. But as the governor has said, everything is fluid, and if the Trump administration is more willing to spend money than people feel that they will be, then maybe the budget will be revised in May in a positive direction or a negative direction. So we are directly involved. One of the things that we're directly involved in for the last couple of years, and we're the only blindness organization that is I think the Lighthouse's name is in there somewhere, but we are the only blindness organization that is actually directly participating in it, in a Californians for SSI coalition, and I think that speaks well of what we do. And we also try to get involved in various other things. So we'll have to look at you know, the budget in terms of what that's going to do. We had a bill vetoed last year that would have strengthened some laws regarding attacks by pet dogs against service animals. And it got vetoed because we took some amendments that we really didn't need, and it expanded the penalty a little bit. It expanded the crime just a little bit, and the governor didn't like it, and the ACLU didn't like it. Well, we don't really care what the ACLU felt one way or the other, but we certainly care that the governor didn't like it because he vetoed it. So we are going to go back and introduce that bill without the amendments, and we so far have not. Yesterday was the deadline to get the bill in to be written, and we achieved that, but we don't have an author, and so we're going to be struggling to potentially find an author in the next couple of weeks, but it may be that we have to wait till next year. It's kind of hard at this point to find authors, but sometimes you get lucky. So one of the big differences in the legislature from, you know, say a couple decades ago is that they don't introduce as many bills as they used to, and so for little entities like us, it can be harder to get your bill introduced. So that's where that is, and I think at this point I will. Well, let me just add one thing. It's really important, and your chapter does a great job of it, but it's really important when you read things in the connection and things like that, or when you hear from your member of the Governmental Affairs Committee, and you definitely have one, to find out, if we don't tell you clearly what you can do, to... you know, find out what you can do and to, you know, give us a letter or give us an email or a phone call or whatever, because they really, you know, legislators really do listen to voters. And so we get more through, you know, your intercession on behalf of, you know, our community than any other thing that we can do. We're small, so... you know, we don't have the clout that we would probably once had or would like to have, but still on our issues, we are, I think, the most listened to organization in this state, and I think that speaks highly for us. So with that, I'll turn it over for questions. I haven't really been paying attention to the time for once because I've just tried to give you the information that I wanted to impart. So.
That's
questions
good.
On anything?
Go ahead.
Okay, we got some questions. Hang on.
So then we can take.
Hi, Jeff. It's Alice here. Could you just very briefly explain? I'm trying to go away from the speaker. Can you very briefly explain the purpose of the new committee on advocacy for CCB? Because I think that's going to provide us with a lot of help for how it is to advocate at our level.
I just want to ask how we can help.
Okay. Sure, I think the advocacy, and I'm sure I'm going to do this a little bit wrong, but there's a sort of a newly formed advocacy committee under the chairship of Steve Mendelson, and it wants to do a few different things. It wants to concentrate on, you know, individual advocacy, and because we really haven't done enough of that, but it also wants to give our members skills that you can use. For example, our next call, which I think it's going to be on the 30th, but don't hold me to that, because we're going to have a discussion of the, and the calls are obviously open to anyone. We're going to have a discussion of the legislative process, how it works, what are the steps involved, and things like that. I think one of the things that Steve really wants to do is give people skills so that they know what they can do, whether it's the legislature, whether it's individual advocacy, what they can do, what they can do on their own, who they can go to if they need to go to somebody. And I think his goal is to really make better self-advocates of all of us, and I think that really is something that, that CCB needs to do a much better job of. And so I think that's the, you know, I know I'm missing part of the purpose because it's a sort of a tripartite thing, but that's a lot of it.
Okay. Hello, hello. Hey, it's Frank again. I asked about the Medicare question. I would like to know, maybe speaking for everybody in this facility here in our meeting today, how can we help here in Silicon Valley, you know, like pass out flowers, you know, spread the word and do the good thing for this council. It's very inspiring to hear that we are an influence in the government. That really inspired me. So I would like to help in some way representing the Silicon Valley. How can I do that?
One of the best things to do is to become acquainted, and I know Roger is one who totally agrees with this, to become acquainted with your members of the legislature, with your state senators and your members of the legislature, with your members of Congress as well. Become acquainted with them at local events or go in and have an appointment with them, not necessarily to ask them for something right then, but just sort of to get them give them an understanding of who you are personally and what are some of the things that you stand for. Because then when we have a bill that we want to find a sponsor for, let's say we want to get some more sponsors for our Cogswell-Macy Act to get it introduced again this year, then you can go into them and say, look, we really want you to sponsor this bill. And they'll know who you are, and they will certainly be more mindful of you and listen to you. So I think it's really important just to, you know, when they are at home, and they do spend a fair amount of time at home, to get to know these folks. And then, you know, maybe let's say, for example, and this happened with Silicon Valley, the fact that this chapter had people that knew Senator Bell enabled us to get him our bills. I mean, the bill ultimately, you know, got vetoed, but and we ended up going to actually to another member to work on it too. But the senator was a great supporter, and you know, and if it wasn't for this chapter, he might not have been an author for us. So it's always important to have these contacts.
Jeff, it's Roger. I want to follow up on that and say that I have always maintained that that we really should give a test. Everyone should be able to tell us who his or her city council member is, county supervisor, state assembly person, state senator, and congressperson. And everyone should be able to do that and know where they are. I mean, like, for example, my assembly member is practically right across the street, his office is. And, you know, I remember one time I came into a meeting when Anna Eshoo was speaking. She's here in Mountain View, at least. She's our congressperson. And I was a little taken aback, and I walked in the room, and she said, "There's Roger Peterson. He always keeps me up to date on disability things." And so the other thing I wanted to mention, Jeff, is that I've been asked to say that everybody should go to the state convention, or if you can't, listen to it on the radio, because Tony Stevens, the national ACB director of advocacy and legislative stuff, is going to be there. And also, as a banquet speaker, we're going to have Carl Augusto, who just retired from the executive directorship, the CEO-ship of the AFB. And we're going to learn a lot of good stuff at the state convention in April in Woodland Hills, California.
Yeah, thank you for that, Roger. We were very fortunate in ACB to pick off Tony Stevens. He had been working as the advocate for National Industries for the Blind, and he already had expertise in areas such as Social Security and other things. He wasn't just limited to the programs that they specifically ran. And so he was able to hit the ground running on all cylinders. And so in this, you know, transformational era in which we find ourselves, you know, with his supervisor having his predecessor being his supervisor, and with him having all the knowledge that he does, ACB is in a really good position in terms of the stewardship of our advocacy. One of the things that, interestingly enough, ACB is working on, it's sort of in the early stages, but I'll at least mention it, is trying to look into issues regarding the problems that we have with all the sort of go-to-meeting type platforms, which are, none of them are fully accessible. And it's time for, you know, because there are so many of us, whether they're in employment situations or whether they're in consumer situations or all sorts of things, we want to be able to fully participate. And that's an area that ACB is working now. So it's in the early stages, don't have anything really to report yet. But I think that it's to our credit that we have worked on that. I'm going to mention one other thing, too, if I have a minute here.
Yes.
We were approached, and I don't know what the outcome of it is, but it's, there's nothing secretive about it. We were approached by a coalition that is basically a coalition for driverless cars, and we were approached to be a member, and we have some serious interest and some serious concerns, because number one, we don't know exactly what this coalition represents and who their members are and whether they really care about the issues that we are interested in, and the pedestrian safety concerns and the accessibility concerns of these cars and things like that. But I think it's always important, it's important to know that they came to us, and it's important to be able to listen to what they have to say. So that's something that haven't made any sort of decisions on yet, but I know Alice has seen it on our governmental affairs list, and it continues to be an issue that is very complex and obviously of great interest to our community.
We have a question from Suzanne.
Hi. You were talking about the increase in SSI. What about Social Security? Is there an increase coming for that as well?
Yes, they peg it to the same index. So presumably we should, you know, those of us getting Social Security should get a small increase next year. Of course, we don't know because, you know, things can change, but I guess it is much more likely that we will than that we will not. But on the other hand, it may get eaten up by Medicare anyway, so you may not ever see it. That's the cynic in me.
This is wonderful. I want to let everyone know it's 10:45. We have 5 more minutes. So, Jeff, is there anything else that you specifically want to tell us, or shall we take a couple of more questions?
No, let's go for questions.
Okay, my name is Lupi Medrano, and one's a comment. The comment being that I would really like to be on that Advocacy and Governmental Affairs Committee. I'll be at the convention in April. I'd also like to be at the convention in the National Convention at Sparks, Nevada as well. The other one is a question. Would Kamala Harris be a potential author? And if so, if anybody would, I would definitely like to get in contact with her to maybe try and convince her to be an author on that bill you were talking about.
Yeah, she's already, I've already actually seen her interviewed on some of the Trump administration nominees. She's already hard at work in D.C. I think she's attending the Women's March today in D.C. as well, somewhere, I think. She's definitely someone you can write to now or call or whatever, just like you can Senator Feinstein. And I am hoping that, and given her background, I am hoping that Ms. Harris, like her predecessor, Senator Boxer, will be more attuned to our issues than Dianne Feinstein. I have to tell you, even as a hardcore Democrat, Dianne Feinstein has never done anything for this community that I am aware of. But on the other hand, Senator Boxer did some things. So, you know, you have to take the good with the bad. Mm-hmm. And we keep working and hoping, and that's all you can do.
Hello, this is Barbara Dickinson. Is this too loud?
No.
Okay. I received my notice from Social Security Medicare for this year, and it's the same as the last 2 years. For 3 years in a row, they have increased Social Security exactly the same amount as the Medicare deductions. So it's been exactly the same for 3 years in a row.
Yep.
So in other words, yes, it's eaten up by Medicare.
That's right. And the increase wasn't much anyway. Fortunately, the Medicare increase wasn't much.
Yeah. We have time for one more question.
Where's the convention at?
The Hilton Woodland Hills in Los Angeles. Woodland Hills, the closest airport is Burbank to Woodland Hills. So for those, you know, flying in. I do know, and I don't know, I should have asked him yesterday, and I saw him. I don't know. I know that Frank Welty had sent out something in terms of looking into a possible bus from people coming from Northern California. I don't know what kind of input he's received. I know some people from my own chapter were interested. So that's another, you know, at least, you know, possibility. I don't know what will happen with that.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. We are so honored to have you. This has been wonderfully informative.
Well, it is my honor to talk to you folks. Good to spend part of my time.
I may chase you further and get an interview for the newsletter at some point this year and some updates, but this is wonderful. Thank you.
Great. Okay, bye all.
Thanks,
Happy New Year.
Thank you. I know you're on to a busy day. We appreciate your work. We will take a 10-minute break and convene for the business meeting at 11. Michelle needs a microphone, and I bet I know why.
Hi, all. So during your break, if you want to come visit the fundraising chair who has various goodies, to let you know what we have... for cookies of the month, we have sour cream spice cookies. I've sold out of the other kind of cookies, so I won't torment you by telling you what kind they were. We have one more calendar for $9. The cookies of the month are $1 a bag. We have some Meltaways. We have Welch's fruit snacks and World's Finest chocolate bars for $1. And we do still have some C's candy bars for $1. We have some on clearance that are $1, and then I have a few available at the regular $2 price. So if we run out of those, the others. So anyway, that's what we have. And Bev has an announcement real quick.
Here I am. Just want to remind you, I've had a September goodies person sign up, but all the other ones after March are still free, so the break is a good time to come and volunteer. Thank you.